A good Erev Shabbos, Parshas Miketz, and the last day of Hanukkah. It was a dark and stormy night. We've read, heard, and seen those words enough times in books and movies to know that they foretell that something bad, something sinister, is about to happen. On the other hand, it was a bright and sunny day. Those words, almost without fail, indicate a positive forecast of events in the story or tale. These literary devices, referred to as foreshadowing, are techniques that have been employed by authors across time, geographic location, and genre, ranging more recently from the likes of 19th century Englishman Charles Dickens to 20th century American Ernest Hemingway. However, although foreshadowing is quite common in storytelling, the more polished and articulate authors demonstrate finesse and subtlety in the words they use to foreshadow. Instead of being as explicit as it was a dark and stormy night, they may describe a single gray cloud in the distant horizon, or how the leaves fell early that year, as did Hemingway in the opening line of A Farewell to Arms. And sometimes the foreshadowing is so subtle, so faint, that it requires the reader to patiently probe the depths of the text to discover the hidden heart of the story being relayed by the author in the work. Chazal, our sages tell us the Torah is one of those texts. And it wasn't only Hemingway and Dickens who employed literary foreshadowing, but God did as well throughout the Torah and Tanakh. While in some cases the foreshadowing is more explicit, there are also more faded instances as well. And there is one word that is found throughout Tanakh in the beginning of narrative passages that is pregnant with predictive purpose. This word is a word that at first glance seems so simple, so straightforward, that we would never think to analyze it. However, if we were to look closely at this word and the narrative context of when it appears, we would readily recognize the concealed construct of it. And that word is Vayihi. While its literal translation is quite simply, "and it was," Chazal, our sages, tell us that Vayihi is the equivalent to "it was a dark and stormy night. Something bad is brewing. Leeriness is looming." Some suggest that the word Vayihi is actually a form of phonetic foreshadowing, with the first syllable in Vayihi being Vai, as in Oy Vai, meaning woe. Almost as if the Torah is telling us, "Vai Yihi, woe it will be." Perhaps the most famous example of the word being used in this foreshadowed fashion is Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh. And it was in the days of Achashverosh. Megillas Esther begins with the word Vayihi, hinting that something horrid is on the horizon for the Jewish people. Achashverosh, influenced by the sinister and cruel counsel of Haman, is about to enact an evil edict to wipe out the Jewish people. Vayihi foreshadows a fetid future. Seems simple. Seems straightforward. However, as simple as it may seem that Vayihi connotes troubled times, the beginning of our parsha seems to fly right in the face of this idea. It appears to be blatantly against this principle. Vayihi miketz shnasayim yamim, and it was at the end of 2 years. Our parsha begins with the word Vayihi. And yet here, a different sort of fate is unfolding. After Yosef accurately interpreted the dreams of his fellow cellmates, the butler and the baker, he asked the butler ever so kindly to please put in a good word with the man on top, with Paro, to help him get out of prison. And for a full 2 years, Yosef sat in prison and waited. Nothing changed. The butler seemed to have forgotten about Yosef. And his predicament of a lifelong prison sentence seemed like it would last until the grave. And then, Vayehi, and it was. Winds of change were in the air. Yosef's fortune seemed to be turning. Paro had a dream that he desperately desired decoding, and none of his in-house interpreters could figure out what it was. So finally, the opportune moment had come for the butler to put in a good word and recommend Yosef and his dream interpreting skills to Paro. And as things would play out, not only was Yosef released from prison to interpret Paro's dreams, but he quickly worked his way up the royal chain and was placed second in command over Egypt, the most powerful empire in the Middle East, the viceroy to Paro himself. And all of this entire chain of almost miraculous events that led to Yosef in his position of power and influence began with that same word, Vayehi. And it was. How does this fit? Vayehi, the word that always connotes and foreshadows negative events, here initiates quite the opposite. And our parsha introduces the meteoric rise to power for Yosef, from rags to riches, from slavery to freedom. Our parsha shouldn't begin with gloomy clouds. Should we begin with sunny days? How does this make any sense? Why would God use this word, Vayehi, such a positive series of events for Yosef? Super Bowl 52 was a record-breaking game for Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. To start, this was his record 8th appearance in a Super Bowl game. He threw for over 500 yards, and his offense overall gained 613 yards, both Super Bowl records. His team never punted, the first time ever in Super Bowl history that a team never had to punt. His all-time record for most career Super Bowl touchdowns grew to 18. And these are just a few of the records that he set that game. But despite all of his personal achievements, the future Hall of Famer Tom Brady had one reaction after the game that night. He cried. And no, they weren't tears of joy. Because in spite of all of the records that Brady set that game, his team lost. And in the big picture, his own personal achievements and performance weren't the way he measured success. If Tom Brady were to write a novel about Super Bowl 52, he would most certainly begin it with the word, Vayehi. On the other hand, the following year, Tom Brady and the Patriots were once again in the Super Bowl. And this time, despite his personal numbers being very mediocre, he didn't set any records and threw an interception without throwing any touchdowns. But this time, he celebrated. He was joyous after the game. Because even though he personally didn't play great, even though he didn't have any personal success, but his team won. Great players understand that achievement isn't measured by personal statistics and accomplishments, but rather by the greater whole, by the success of the team. And in our parsha, God is telling us that the same is true in life. Yes, Paro's dream initiated a series of events that led to incredible success and achievement for Yosef. But when God wrote the Torah, he wanted us to not get distracted by that. He wanted us to appreciate and see the bigger picture of what was going on. God wanted us to see beyond the personal success of one person, even someone as important as Yosef. And a more grandiose perspective of the situation reveals that this was most certainly a Vayehi time period. Because what was it that led to Yosef being given his position of power and prestige? There was a massive famine in the Middle East. And it was Yosef who figured out what was going on. And he was put in charge of managing Egypt's finances during the period. But none of the other nations in the area were aware of the coming disaster. Who knows how many people's lives were destroyed? How many people died due to the region-wide famine? Now, certainly we aren't blaming Yosef for the famine, but Vayehi, God is telling us it's about seeing the bigger picture. As much as Yosef's rise to power was tremendous, but bigger than Yosef were the lives of potentially millions of people who were adversely affected by the mass famine. As of mid-November, the stock for Zoom, the online video platform, had grown over 700% from the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. But despite the financial success of Zoom and other select businesses and industries, every single person, including the CEO of Zoom, would write the story of 2020, beginning with the word, Vayehi. Because it's not about me or us. We understand that life is bigger than just me and my dalet amot, my four cubits. But the truth is, we don't need to turn away our attention from Yosef to see why the beginning of our parsha was deserving of the word Vayehi. All we have to do is zoom out in time to see beyond the here and now. While it's true that Pharaoh's dream set in motion a series of events that led to Yosef's freedom and power, but in the longer term, in the bigger picture, it also led to Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, having to descend to Egypt and eventually becoming enslaved. Yes, if we were to glance at just a few moments in history, these years of Yosef's life, it would seem that his rise to power is great. But in the long run, this series of events and its aftermath led to his own children, his own descendants, and those of his entire family being tortured, persecuted, and massacred for well over 100 years. Looking back, if Yosef had the 2020 vision that we have, he would no doubt have begun the parsha with the words, Vayehi, despite all his own personal success and achievements. I would argue that if Yosef had been given the choice by God, either you stay here, where you are in prison for the rest of your life, but everything else stays the same, the world stays put, everything's okay, or you can get released from prison and get appointed a second in command to Paro, but with the caveat that there will be a famine that will devastate the entire region, the lives of millions of people, and will also to your family and your descendants being enslaved in Egypt. Without a question, Yosef would have chosen the former. Because big people live beyond themselves. They see the bigger picture. God sees the bigger picture. God expects us to tell ourselves that even if I want to do something that may be nice for me, may be pleasant in the short term, may be convenient, it may be more enjoyable, but if in the long run it's going to cause more harm than good, if it may impact others negatively, then I will hold back. I will choose another way. I will go about my business differently. I will be bigger than myself. American culture idolizes heroes. And it isn't only American culture, it's worldwide culture. 5 of the top 10 highest grossing movies all time are specifically billed as superhero movies. The top movie ever, 2019 Avengers Endgame, having brought in a whopping $2.8 billion, an exorbitant amount of money. We all want to be heroes, from a young age even. We all want to be heroes in some way, shape, or form. But what is a hero? Is it even possible for us to be heroes? None of us have superpowers. We don't have superhuman strength. We can't read minds. We can't fly. And we certainly don't have laser beams shooting from our eyes. But is that what it means to be a hero? To have superpowers? No. Heroes don't need superpowers. Because a hero is just someone who sees the bigger picture, who puts others before themselves, who is willing to sacrifice their own success and comfort for the good of other people, oftentimes for complete strangers. In the year 2020, each and every one of us, perhaps more than ever, have been and continue to be heroes. When we follow the CDC guidelines and wear our masks at all times, even though it may be uncomfortable, it's annoying, it's not as enjoyable, and we may not even be concerned for our own health. I'm fine, I'm good health, what's the big deal? When we follow the rules and care about others, we are being heroic. When we spend Pesach, the Siddur alone, but wasn't only Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, alone to flatten the curve, we are being heroic. When we shortened and cut out many of the meaningful liturgical pieces from the High Holiday davening, we were being heroic. When we decided this year to celebrate Thanksgiving and Hanukkah on Zoom instead of in person with friends and extended family, we were being heroic. When we've been exposed or, God forbid, have COVID-like symptoms and we stay home, away from others, when we don't go to shul, we are being heroic. When we sacrifice on our own social interactions for the sake of keeping others safe, we are being heroic. And it's not just the CDC, the CRC, or any other governmental or rabbinic agency who applauds us. God does too. God does too. We act heroic when we internalize the calling cry of our parsha that the determination of what is right and what is success is bigger than me, myself, and I. When we understand that how our children, how history, how the world will look back at our actions and judge us is not based on what benefited me the most in the here and the now, but rather how I helped improve the lives of others around me, how I cared about the future of our society and world. If we do that, then we too will merit the standing ovation of not only of the world, but of God Himself. I wish each and every one of us a happy, healthy, and truly successful Shabbos.